Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous and Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ Sam, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, the 28th of June, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. We're reading from the Big Book, There is a Solution, page 28, and we're reading the third paragraph, starting with the distinguished American psychologist, ending with, there's no friction among us over such matters. And our readers today, we have Joni C's taking care of the steps, Tenzin P with the traditions. Pete's going to start us off with the text. Page 164, that's Pete B. 164 is Loretta H. Backup readers, Katie G. Newcomer greeter, Susan S.H. And our second hour host is Jeannie B. Our reference numbers for yesterday, June 27th, Thursday, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,526. That's 21526. 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,527. That's 21527. Excuse me. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I've asked Joni C. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
All right, Joni, thank you very much. Next up is Tenzin P. with the traditions.
Thank you very much, Tenzin P., checking in from New York. And here are our beautiful 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to unmute your phone, or to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. You think I would know this script already. So today, we are reading from There is a Solution. We're on page 28, and we're on in that third paragraph. The distinguished American psychologist ending with there's no friction among us over such matters. And we're just reading that paragraph, and Pete's going to start us off and share. Pete B.
Thanks, Russ. Good morning, everybody. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. The distinguished American psychologist William James, in his book Varieties of Religious Experience, indicates a multitude of ways in which men have discovered God. We have no desire to convince anyone that there is only one way by which faith can be acquired. If what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all, it means that all of us, whatever our race, creed, or color, are children of a living creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. Those having religious affiliations will find here nothing disturbing to their beliefs or ceremonies. There is no friction among us over such matters. So, you know, we know from history, and we know from our historians that, you know, this chapter, There is a Solution, and Bill's story were the first two chapters of the Big Book that was written. And it was the basis that Bill and Hank Perkhurst went around and trying to sell the concept of the book to get a book deal, right? So the whole rest of the book wasn't even a draft while these two chapters were being circulated. right? The previous chapter, the previous paragraph ended with a design for living that really works, right? So when they mention the design for living, they're not referring to the rest of the things that we do, the rest of the instructions that are in this book, right? Because those things weren't even laid out yet. You know, this whole idea, like design for, it's not having a sponsor and going to meetings and reporting your food and weighing and measuring and having a God squad and apologizing for, you know, wetting the bed when I was a child and reporting my emotions to my friends. That's not the design for living that it's referring to. If we go back to page 13 in the big book in Bill's story, it says, I would have the elements of a new way of living which answered all my problems. Belief in the power of God, plus enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish and maintain the new order of things were the essential requirements, right? So that's all that's required to start this relationship, right? That's the only requirements of those three things: willingness, the quality or state of being prepared to do something; honesty, being free of deceit and untruthfulness; humility, it amounts to a clear recognition of what and who we really are, followed by a sincere attempt to become what we could be, right? And this spiritual experience that we have as a result of working these steps is a process that will enable us to become what we could be by first acknowledging and understanding exactly what we are. Nothing more, nothing less, right? A book also tells us that if we have this condition as defined in this book and we have become of the hopeless variety, well, we have no other choice than to have a spiritual experience. We have no other option. The only option is diets and group support. That's the only, that's it. And that, and we, and my experience tells me that that will never serve my purpose. What's required to live the kind of life that I want to live, the life consistent with how I think my Creator would have me live, is to have a spiritual experience. And the 12 steps are the process that we have to ensure us and guarantee that we've had that experience. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it. Starting us off. So now we're going to open up the lines for sharing, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others get to share their experience too, and that we can get as many people to share they usually don't. So who would like to share?
Rachel Kay.
Robin
working in Costa Rica.
Robin.
Melissa C.
Melissa.
Elena C.
Elena.
Dorcas in Florida.
Who was
Lisa
in Florida?
Lisa C. Dorcas, D-O-R-C-A-S.
Vasa O.
Vasa. There was someone else too there. I missed. All right.
Lisa C.
Oh, Lisa. Lisa, that's who it was. We got Lisa. So we got Rachel, Robin, Melissa, Elena, Dorcas, Vasa, and Lisa. Rachel, you are out.
Thanks, Russ, and thanks, Pete, for starting us off. Hi, I'm Rachel Kay, recovered compulsive eater in the great state of Indiana. And the thing that stuck out to me about this reading is where he says, let me pull it up, a relationship, a living creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms. So simple and understandable. Like, I don't know about you guys, but as an addict, I can make anything complicated. I can complicate the S out of anything. And, you know, it's simple. Like, as it says in the AA 12 and 12, like, the hoops that we have to jump through is pretty wide. I don't have to make this complicated. I don't have to worry about, you know, okay, is my prayer, you know, the right kind of prayer? Is my meditation, am I meditating right? You know, I don't, you know, my mind wanders. What, it doesn't matter. It's simple. I don't think God expects, you know, complicated stuff from us. You know, if we want to do complicated prayer and meditation, we can, but it's not necessary. It's, you know, and it says terms, like terms of the relationship. And that reminds me of, you know, the terms of a contract. Like, and it's a pretty simple contract. Okay, like, I do your will to the best of my ability and my understanding. You know, I am imperfect. Like, that's in the contract, you know, that I am not going to be perfect, that I am going to screw up, you know, and you are my protector and my perfect parent and my perfect friend and my perfect partner, you know, and, you know, I don't eat. And I do these 12 simple steps, which I can also complicate. And I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. I mean, that's a pretty cool contract to enter into. That's a pretty cool relationship. I get a whole lot without having to, you know, it's simple. It's not easy, right? Because I have to be reminded constantly, okay, here are the terms of this relationship. Here are the terms of the contract. And, you know, also, you know, God is very forgiving. When I forget my part, when I, you know, he doesn't tear up the contract. He's like, okay, well, let's try again. You know, he makes the hoop pretty wide for me to jump through as long as I give it my best shot. So, anyway, everybody have a great weekend. That's all I've got. And I pass.
All right, Rachel, thank you. Next up is Robin P., followed by Melissa C.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Russ. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And just so grateful to be abstinent today and on a meeting. And, you know, I came in a devout atheist. I was raised atheist. And I saw God on the walls in a meeting in New York City at the Moravian Church. This was a very long time ago. And I just thought, oh, no, I was desperate for this. I was a little bottom bulimic. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, please don't have another crutch. You know, that's what I thought at the time. They just substituted one crutch for another. And I was so terrified and because I needed help. And somebody said to me, just any power that's greater than your God, which is food, because your God has failed you, which was so true. And so it was such a miracle for me to have this good, orderly direction, this grow, getting to know a power greater than myself. And this was my bridge to God. And if it wasn't for these 12 steps and this program, I don't know how I would have gotten from all the way over there to where I am today. And to be honest, it says in this paragraph, to be honest and open and willing, you know, to be willing that, I always remember the how, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And, you know, I believe in being as open-minded as possible without my brains falling out, you know. And just willingness is that key, and being honest. And then I can keep recovering one day at a time, you know. It's been a miraculous, you know, 8.5 years. It's just miraculous, you know, to go to Europe for 2 months, a different city every 5 days and abstinently. Just a miracle of grace and have these tools. And, you know, my father's dying of a massive brain tumor and to go through this abstinently. I'm just so eternally grateful to this program that we can do together what we could never do alone. I could never do any of this stuff without being in the food. And it's just literally, it's grace. And I love that it's like anyone. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter anything about you. You are welcome here. It doesn't matter, you know, anything about you except for that you want to stop eating compulsively. And I also love that anybody, there's a variety here.
I've met Muslims in the program. I've met so many different people of different faiths, and it all works. I'm just eternally grateful to be here and to be abstinent and be with you. And I pass and have a very blessed, abstinent day and weekend. Thanks again, Russ.
Thanks, Robin. Next up is Melissa C., followed by Elena C.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks so much for your service. This is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I read this and I think there is no way that this book was not, you know, divinely inspired, because this concept about something being available to faith can be acquired for anybody, no matter what, you know, no matter where they are in life, no matter what their race, creed, color, anyone, was revolutionary. I mean, this was before the civil rights movement. I think, you know, like now we read that and I think, well, of course, but you know, this is pretty miraculous stuff, just wording it like that. And, you know, what I love is that it tells me here that it doesn't matter how your faith is acquired, and it doesn't really matter what your religious affiliations are. What matters is that your faith is acquired, that there's something that's going to happen, you know, that is going to help you cultivate not just faith, but a relationship with the living creator. I mean, that's mind-blowing that I am an earthly woman. I am like a regular run-of-the-mill 55-year-old teacher in New York, and I have a relationship with God, like a personal relationship with the creator of the universe. And it's not because I'm special. You know, I'm as special as anybody. I am special. I'm as special as anybody. And that this relationship is available to anybody. And here's the requirement. I have to be willing and honest enough to try. And so, you know, when I stumbled early on in this program and said, I'm having a hard time believing God because I felt screwed by God. You know, that was my position. That was what I wrapped myself up in. You know, somehow I got comfort saying there's no God, and I got no comfort in that, you know. And so I thought that it was going to be really difficult because I didn't believe in God at the moment. But here it says, willing to try, honest enough to try. So the question is not, you know, in early on is, do you believe in God? The real question is, do you want to? Do you want to acquire faith? And, you know, for me, how did I have, a variety of a religious experience? It didn't come on a beautiful beach on a sunny summer day. It came through my pain. And it seems like everybody that I have, you know, had close contact with in this program have had the same kind of experience. My spiritual relationship, my relationship with God, with the creator of this universe, has grown exponentially every time I've been pressed against the wall and I needed help and he was available. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is Elena C., followed by Dorcas. I didn't get your initial, but we'll get it. Go ahead, Elena. Sorry.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Wow, what a beautiful paragraph. Here's what I hear from this paragraph. By the way, I'm an Elena C. in South Carolina, recovered compulsive overeater. So what a great paragraph. So what I hear in this paragraph is this quality of our program at 12-step programs in general about not imposing the conception of God. So they're spiritual programs that they attract rather than promote. You know, if somebody would have come to me and said, Elena, this is what you need to believe in, I would have totally run the other way. But, and you know, when I got exposed to the 12 step, nobody told me you've got to stay and this is our way. I needed to find my way. I needed to decide for myself. And I needed to ask God to be willing, you know, to be willing to give this program a chance. And, you know, it's, I am not, we have Jews, we have Orthodox, we have Catholics, we have, you know, all religions in here, Buddhists or whatever. And it doesn't matter. It really does not. We all have something in common. That is that we are affected by this condition of the mind and body. And we were born differently than others in this area. And, you know, and everybody is willing. Everybody has the freedom to choose for themselves. And I just love that. And listen in this paragraph how respectful this program is of other religions. You know, they're even saying, look, if you find a way to stop compulsive overeating by just going somewhere else, that's fine with us. And that is absolutely amazing. And why? Because it's allowing us to be guided by our higher power, whether we're going to stay or not in this program, right? And I totally see that. My higher power has guided me here, period. I did not choose that. My higher power guided me. And I can tell you 1,000,000,000 of examples how I was guided in this as I look back. And I think that's absolutely miraculous. Absolutely miraculous. God is inclusive, never exclusive. Never exclusive. And I feel the connection with all of you. And thank you so much for all your shares. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Elena. Next up, we have Storkus, but I didn't get the original, your first initial of your last name, if I heard it right. Star one. All right. Well, we'll go to Vasa and we'll come back to you. Vasa, you could share now.
Thank you.
Storkus?
Hold on. Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry. My name is Dorcas W.
There you go. All right. Thank you.
And
from Florida,
I'm in Crystal River, Florida. Yeah.
Cool. Go ahead.
And I'm gratefully recovered, yet not cured. Thank you. I'm technology challenged, but I'm working on it. So reading this with y'all has been phenomenal this morning. I am no longer God. I've tried many times to think that I can play God and be God. And last Tuesday, I tried to take two bites of a chocolate cake. And so I'm back in again, 4 days in again. I'm grateful for my sponsor to say to me, you better golden key that crap and keep praying and quit going off the rails. Anyway, so when we were going through this, I went immediately back to the spiritual experience where it says we tap into that inner resource, right? And I know it's always there. Yet sometimes I choose not to tap in. I choose not to breathe and come back into this present moment of knowing that I am a child of a living creator, and I am worthy of this life. So gratitude comes from every pore today as I think about how in Taoism, we talk about the wu-wei, the way of effortless action. And that's what I want to stay in today, because the morning that I finally woke up and decided to be honest with my sponsor again, a song popped in my head, and it was one of my daughter's favorite kind of beboppy songs. It's like, I'm so sick of this same old love. My body's had enough. My body physically was like, are you kidding me again? Like, and just crying for help. And so I'm so grateful to be starting again, back on track, and grateful for everyone here. And thank you all for your service.
All right, thank you. Next up is Vasa O, followed by Lisa C.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Russ, for your service and everybody's service. Everybody shares. And I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Foxborough, Massachusetts, and spiritual experience. I've had many of them since I've been in recovery. Awakenings, spiritual experiences. I've been working the 12 steps. But the biggest one for me was when I surrendered to my higher power with the food addiction. And my sponsor reassured me. She said, the only way we're going to recover is by surrendering to God, a higher power, whoever you choose to, and just ask for that help. And I had the gift of desperation. I remember saying, how I'm going to live the rest of my life without having these certain foods that I've been lusting and eating them over the years. And she said, with a higher power, everything is possible. And that was the beginning for my new life in this recovery and in my higher power, when I was ready and willing to surrender. And I remember she said to me, go and find a quiet place and get on your knees. I was ready to do whatever it took. I will get on my knees. I will crawl to look for the higher power, because I was just dying gradually, physically, emotionally, spiritually, without even knowing, you know, what I was doing. It's not like I didn't want to stop. I wanted to stop, but I couldn't. And I did everything in my own power, willpower, to do it, but it did not work, because I needed to find a power greater than myself. And the program and the 12 steps, and so beautiful people like you. You can be honest, we can be honest, and share our weaknesses and strengths, everything in here, and I'm not judged. But the first thing I did go in the bathroom, and I locked the door and got on my knees, and I said, Father, whoever you are there, I surrender. I put the food in your hands, and I put myself, even my husband, but I was not ready to put my kids yet. You know, I was just too afraid God was just going to strike. He would just take them away from me. But anyways, I needed more and more to learn. And what I heard, my sponsor said, you ask God to forgive you for all your sins that you committed in your lifetime. I didn't even know what sins were. I said, okay, God, forgive me for all the sins. And I heard this voice in my small voice go in my head. It was geared towards me, acceptance, forgiveness, and honesty. And it was all about towards me, not to other people. And I felt the connection. That was a biggest spiritual experience I had. And I have held on it. My sponsor said, hold on it. I'll wrap it up. Hold on it and don't let it go. And that's what I've been doing. I hold on that experience. And I've had many more as working the 12 steps. Grateful I got my abstinence from that first night, not by my willpower, by God's power. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Vasa. Next up is Lisa C., and then we're going to take another list.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you so much, everybody who makes this meeting happen, and for all the amazing shares that just give me so much life every day. I mean, this is such a great paragraph for so many reasons, but what's really standing out to me right now is the part that says, those having religious affiliations will find here nothing disturbing to their beliefs or ceremonies, and there is no friction among us over such matters. I think that's really powerful because, you know, we hear the variety, right? We hear the variety among us. Some of us had no spiritual life before coming into program. Some of us had rich spiritual lives before coming into program. And yet we come in wherever we are, and we get connected to power. And in my case, you know, I grew up interfaith. You know, I had lots of questions, and also I saw a lot of common ground because of that upbringing. And yet I did not really call upon God to fix my problems. Only in moments of desperation would I really go to God before finding this program. And in those moments of desperation, I didn't even really ask for anything. I just was desperate. But what I didn't do is know that after that desperation would lift, and whatever situation it was, that God was still there, and that God could be with me at every single moment, such that I could have a life in which I didn't have to wait until I was desperate, right, to have God's grace and love and mercy and redemption in my life. And that's, to me, why the program works, because it's about that daily practice. Because I only have a daily reprieve, I must practice daily, and that daily practice connects me to God no matter what's going on. Because when things are going well for me, or when things were going well for me in my life at different times, I coasted. I drifted. It didn't matter what my spiritual leanings were, because I didn't understand what it meant to nurture and cultivate a relationship with power. And it's so true. I love how this program amplifies whatever spiritual or at times religious practices and beliefs and interests that I have. It simply amplifies it. It never takes away. That's incredible, right? Talk about inclusivity. Talk about a power greater than myself, a power greater than any of us, something that can do things that we can't even conceive. And it's a miracle, and it's real, because the food went down and life changed. A huge transformation. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right, Lisa, thank you very much. We're going to open up the lines for Sharon again. And we are on page 28, third paragraph, the Distinguished American Psychologist. Just reading that nice, massive paragraph. And if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, allow others to share. We want to get as many people to share who normally don't. So who would like to?
Kim A.
Ken W. H.
I got Kim, Ken. There was someone before Ken.
Nicole
S.
Reva.
Laurel A.
Okay. Laurel, and I think there's
L.
One. Laura L, and there should be one more, I think.
Nicole S.
There we go, Nicole S. Now, I didn't estimate the time, so take it easy on me if I can't catch it, but hopefully we will. All right, Cheryl. I'm sorry. What am I saying? Oh, it's Kim. Sorry. Got bad eyes. Kim, you're up.
That's okay. Thank you. Good morning. This is Kim A. from New York City. So, you know, we're talking about step two here. We're talking about God. Well, we're not really talking about step two. We're just talking about a relationship with a power greater than ourselves. And when I came in, I didn't really understand what that meant, and I let it hang me up for quite a while because, you know, I kind of misunderstood step two. I was very invested in figuring out, who is this higher power? What should I call this higher power? What can this higher power do for me? How is this higher power going to help me with food? Blah, blah, blah. But we don't need to do any of that. Step two is just asking us if we're willing to believe that we're not the most powerful form in the universe. That is it. We don't even have to believe now. It doesn't say we believed. It says came to believe. So as long as we are able to say, like, hi, I don't control nature. Hello, I didn't, you know, invent the solar system. You know, I'm not in charge of gravity. Obviously, there's something bigger than me that is, right? So that's all I need in order to begin to form that relationship. And how do I form that relationship? I form that relationship by working the steps. Even if I come in here having this, like, great understanding of my higher power, I don't have access to that higher power if I'm blocking my I'm not feeling well. I can't think that well. If I'm, like, blocking that channel with food and with resentment and with all those things. So as I go through the steps and start to see the truth in my thinking and see that my resentment and my fear and all that is just coming from within, and, you know, I start to clear that shit out, I put down the food because I'm no longer having those constant thoughts that require me to go to food for ease and comfort, then I have access to a higher power and I'm able to develop a relationship with it. I hope that made sense. I'll pass. Thank you. Kim A. from New York City.
Thanks, Kim. Feel better. All right. Next up is Ken W.H., followed by Reva P.
Thanks, Russ. This is Ken W.H., North Carolina, recovered compulsive eater. I read this paragraph as Bill's way of saying there's no room or place for spiritual arrogance of any kind whatsoever. And I've been guilty of that, so the paragraph was might as well be headed Ken. Spiritual arrogance is part of the disease. Step two is a beauty. And it says that we came to believe not in something, but that something could restore me to sanity. That's what it says. It doesn't say that I need to believe in other words, have faith that. I don't have to have, that's not what it says. It just says that I need to be willing to believe that a power greater than myself, whatever, will restore me to sanity. First, I had to understand I'm nuts. And a lot of this is all wrapped up in this whole concept of surrender. And I think even the varieties of religious experience, which, believe it or not, I did read, which was crazy, basically tells me that there isn't one way to go here. I don't have the answers, and I don't need to have the answers. What I need to understand for me is that I'm powerless over food all by myself. I can't do it my own way, Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. How'd that work for you, Ken? Pretty badly. And even coming into the program and trying to have a spiritual experience or have a better relationship with the God that at that time I had in my life as an understanding, I just had to let that all go. I had to surrender, period, to everything. There is no place for in me today for spiritual arrogance. There are things I hear on this meeting and every other meeting that just, they can stir me up and churn my stomach like there's no tomorrow, but I need to let it go. And there may be a time or two that I start, something spurts out of me and then I feel bad about it. But the reality is I have no claim to know the right, wrong, indifferent way of doing things. I just know what works for me. And I came to believe that this power could restore me to sanity, and I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to it, and that doesn't say anything about faith, belief, or it just says, I need help. Help! Thanks, Russ. You helped me out a lot, too, bro. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. You know, it's mutual. You know that. All right, next up is Reva P., followed by Laura L.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. You know, we're reading this, and I'm always struck by the header. It keeps saying, there is a solution, there is a solution, there is a solution. And I guess the first thing that's striking me is that the solution, as we're concluding the chapter, is not reemphasizing that the solution is sobriety. It's not sobriety only. It keeps reemphasizing this relationship with power, a creator designed for living, and that's the solution. And it was so confusing to me when I first came in. So it's wonderful to read simple and understandable. You know, I got caught up with hearing how people were doing their different variety of practices, and one meditates this way and on X number of minutes and on my knees and off my knees, and it was like it seemed like minutia of details, but but it's really simple. If I follow the clear-cut directions. And the other thing that is striking me is all of us. It's an equal opportunity disease. This disease does not discriminate race, color, religion, whatever. And recovery is an equal opportunity thing too, if I do. I mean, the word trying is always tricky for me, you know, honest and willing to try. Trying to me is not necessarily as effective for me as just doing. Just do it. Don't try. Just like do it. But yeah, recovery is available to anyone who follows the clear-cut directions. And because it didn't seem simple and understandable at the beginning, I'm reminded, you know, page 55, that again and again it keeps saying, where's the last place I'm going to look is right inside of me. It's not in a book. It's not in a spiritual guru. It's not in her practice and his practice and the sponsor and the whatever. It's inside of me. And the whole purpose of putting down the food and working the steps is to remove all the blocks. And then it's like when a room is dark, if I do the work and open up the shades, the light comes in. And the more I clean the windows and open up more shades, the more light. And it just is, you know, in maybe that case not, but in this case with a higher power, it's limitless. Like what I understood 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and the relationship that I had is not the same as it is today. As the disease goes deeper, so does my higher power and that relationship. And to just remember to keep it really simple, but there are no excuses because it's equal opportunity for anyone who follows the clear-cut directions and limitless, limitless growth and expansion and living. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Reva. Next up is Laura L., and hopefully it'll be Nicole S. will take us out.
Thank you, Russ. Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Laura L. from New Britain, Connecticut, compulsive overeater, recovered. I love this paragraph, and everybody shares. Thank you for your service. And so for me, I was raised by a Jewish mom and Episcopalian dad who didn't believe in God. I said a few prayers before I went to bed every night, but I didn't know what they meant. I grew up extremely independent. I was the oldest of three and had to be put in charge of them when I was nine. And yeah, I came into program 23 years ago, defiant, independent, hating myself beyond belief, and couldn't stop eating. I was bulimic. I was 70 pounds overweight. And total mess. So what happened was the first few years I just dieted with group support. I just didn't get the God thing. I really wanted to believe. I really, really did. And I was lucky to have friends who showed me a lot of different spiritual ways of being, but I just couldn't submit my will. I couldn't do this. Finally I sort of relapsed. I just, you know, and that really kicked my butt. And I did relapse, actually. And I worked the program really, really hard. And I was so grateful to be in an area, a geographic area that had a lot of recovery in it. And a few years ago, I found Vision for You after another relapse. And it's really, really helped my spiritual growth. I got it in the educational variety. I would get little spiritual experiences, like small ones throughout the years. And so I came to believe slowly. And now, you know, I have entire abstinence. It's 3 years tomorrow, and I'm very excited about that. But I do a lot of service, and I work really hard, but I still struggle sometimes with my concept of my higher power, but I believe, I know I'm powerless, and I believe every day that I'm being restored to sanity. And I'm learning that teachers come and spiritual teachers come in all shapes and sizes. My boss, who I have a lot of issues and trouble with is a teacher, meaning she's teaching me how to get closer to God. And because of the struggles and the difficulties, as well as past coworkers, as well as my parents, my dad's been gone 30 years, but I'm still learning from him and from the experiences. So all the hardships, thank you, all the hardships are, and the hard people are my teachers. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Thanks, Laura. Next up is Nicole. And I'm so glad that this meeting is recorded because we did it finally once. The time has worked out by luck. All right, Nicole, you're up.
Hi, this is Nicole S., recovered in Colorado. Thank you so much for your service. And I relate to this paragraph. When I came into program, I had a faith, and I was just so ashamed before God for how I was eating. And what I had to realize is I needed a new relationship with God, and I had to be willing, first of all, to put the food down. And then I had to be honest, realizing that my problem was not that I didn't have faith, it was that I was not rightly relating to God. I was the actor forever trying to make life fit how I wanted it to. And I still just struggle with this today. And all, you know, every day throughout the day, I have to constantly let go of my will and realize, you know, I have to be willing to let God be the director. And I have to be honest with those times where I'm making a mess of things. And again, on page 59, you know, I had to sweep away the prejudice, think honestly, and search diligently in myself, and realize that, you know, the problem is me, and the problem is me trying to arrange life to suit myself. And instead of just humbly saying, thy will, not mine be done. And I just love how it has here simple and understandable terms. It is just so simple and so understandable. And I know when I just get out of the way and just ask God, what are my orders for today? What do you want for me today? I can have a good day when it goes the opposite, when I just try harder and I'm trying to seek life according to what I want. It's a disaster. I'm that tornado ripping through people's lives again. So I'm so grateful for this program, and that there's a different way. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So we have actually a minute and a half. Who would like that? Who would like it? Now we're getting down to a minute. Who wants a
Donna
minute?
Donna K. from Ohio.
Go for it. Hit it.
All right. Hey, great. Wonderful. Donna K. from Ohio, recovered. Whew, grateful in spades. Wonderful shares. Really appreciate it. So good about just saying, basically, I got this, okay? That is the mantra for my program. I don't have this answer. My higher power and I and our, my relationship is the key to the deal. It's the key. Anyway, thanks so much. Appreciate all the shares. Love you, family. Bye.
All right, Donna. Thank you very much. Donna is our last year, and we thank everyone who shared for this meeting, did service, people who did service for Friday this month. Thank you. We couldn't have done this without everybody's help. All right, so today's share ID, Friday, July, okay, I'm jumping a gun, Friday, June 28, 2024, to 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,529. 21529. And I've asked Loretta, it's going to read for us. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we're going to close with the serenity prayer. Loretta, you're up.
Good morning, Russ, and good morning, all, along with my precious God. You are definitely saving my life. Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditations what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.